Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have, Father, to come together. I thank you, Father, that you've just made this place, Father, for us, that we can come in one accord, Father, in one spirit, of the same mind, Father, that we can glorify you, we can worship you, we can be edified by your word, that we can be given revelations, teachings, and encouraging words, Lord Jesus. That, Father, that the world that is all around us so dominating, Lord Jesus, we have this time to come in here and cast our cares, Lord, and to be ministered to by your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that the needs of each every individual in this room would be met, Lord Jesus. That every desire of each person's heart would be met, Lord Jesus. That, Father, that as we live our lives, Father, that your goodness and your glory would so be evident in our walk, Lord, that nothing would be withheld from us, Lord. That the people that we meet would see your favor on our lives, would see your blessing on our lives, would see your hand on our lives, Lord. That that would create a jealousy in the world that they would want it also, Father. Father, you said that the world cannot comprehend the light. So, Lord, let the love that we have in our hearts draw people to you. Let your love be so manifest in us, Lord Jesus, that men and women all over this place cannot resist it, Lord. That truly, Lord, you would be glorified not only in our lives, but in the lives to whom we have to do. The people that we meet, whether it's at the store or the gas station or at our job or just happen chance meeting, Lord. That your love and your life would be so obvious in us, Lord, that it would draw them to you. And I just trust you for this and believe you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God is so good. So, he's so faithful. I'll tell you what, he changed my message again and waited till the very last minute. Yeah, I should just plan on it. But I can't, you know, I can't just plan on it because you never know, you know. But he's so faithful. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 John. Well, I think what the Lord would like to convey today is how much he loves us. Really, really, how much he loves us. I think that as I talk to him about everyone, he keeps telling me that we don't really know how much he loves us. We say we know. We've heard the words. We've been taught that God loves us. But do we really know ourselves how much he loves us? Do we really hold it in our hearts? Does it really create a safety net for us? Does it give us confidence? Can we lay our head down on our pillow with peace at night knowing that God's got us? Do we really know how much he loves us? The world has a subtle way of creeping in and making us measure ourselves according to our behavior and our beliefs rather than by the love of God. And I think the Lord would like us to just really take a look at that again today. So if you will, turn to me with 1 John. Jesus, you are so good. Yes, ma'am? Right here. Can I turn it up, like, in this position or in volume? All right. Somebody's got it. Since I talk so softly. I can speak louder, amen. It's just the glory of God. It is the second one in from your right hand. Got me? Hello, hello, hello. There you go. That's great. Now you can hear me, right? And then the red knobs in the middle of the board. See the red ones in the middle of the board? You're not looking at them. The very center of that board, the red slide. Slide up those two. That'll help the speakers on the sides. There you go. That's better. That's good. Thank you. Now, can you hear me? Yes. Much better? Much better. All right. Now that we've all woken up, praise God. Okay, this could be too loud if I get excited. Are you with me? Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. We're just going to use this as a jump off from here. Ready? Verse 7. Verse 6. Ready? Verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiations for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What does love look like? That's how I felt. That's exactly how I felt. You know, I was called into the ministry, and you guys have heard my testimony, so I don't want to belabor it. All kinds of really significant supernatural things have happened to me. Been to heaven, all kinds of great things. And you know, I was in Bible college, and the Lord asked me, he goes, well, it was through a prophecy, someone prophesied over me that the Lord had showed me to them on their way driving into work, and they prophesied and said the Lord was very happy with me, belly laughing, happy with me. So he said, ask whatever you will of me. He gave me that. And, you know, instantly, of course, I played the little, well, I'm supposed to ask for wisdom. That's the right thing to do. God did not chuckle. He did not chuckle. He didn't like that. So I really thought I should really be sober-minded about this. It took about 3 or 4 weeks before I actually asked God for anything. Lord, I don't know. And what I noticed about myself was that I was a good Christian. I went to church. I studied the Bible. I was generous with my offerings. I served in the church. I laid down my life and did what others asked of me to do instead of what I necessarily wanted to do. But I didn't like people. Can you believe that? I just didn't like people. And yet I had seen all these manifestations of God in my life. But I didn't love people yet. I tolerated people. I put up with people. I was around people, but they didn't nourish my heart. They didn't really create a joy in me. And I didn't really believe anybody really loved me. I believe they needed things from me. I believe they wanted me to help them. I believe they wanted me to be their servant. But I didn't honestly believe in my heart that they wanted and loved me personally if I never did any of those things. So what I asked the Lord for, So what I asked the Lord for was to love people. Because I didn't. And I had everybody fooled. Because I was sitting here like you are, but I was in Bible college at the time, and I was going through all the motions, but in my heart was absent the love for other people. Can anyone relate to me, or was I the only jerk in the room? I was, and I needed that to change. So, the Lord did a double whammy on me. When I asked him, I said, I don't love people. And I said, you've called me into the ministry. You've done great and mighty things in my life. You've revealed all these incredible things to me. But if I don't love people, I have absolutely nothing. It's all for nothing. So I asked him, I said, I need the love of people in my heart. And then the Spirit of God came on me, and I just started speaking by the Spirit. And I asked for the ability to untie the knots in people's hearts so that they can be actually set free, because I realized, boy, that my heart was still all bound up. Even though God loved me, even though he died for my sins, even though I'd been to heaven, even though I'd seen Jesus face to face, even though the Holy Spirit showed me things, I was still totally bound up in my own heart, and I needed to be set free from it. And so I asked him to be able to do that for other people, because if I could do it for them, I could do it for myself. Amen. It's the same thing that works in both. So what I had to realize, and not just in words, it had to settle down into my spirit that God loves me personally. And you know what? So subtly, what was mixed up in my heart was performance. Performance. Whether I prayed enough, whether I read enough, whether I knew enough verses, whether I gave enough of my time, whether I tithed or didn't tithe, whether I was kind and nice to people, all those things were my like measuring scale that was going on inside of my heart that validated whether I was on track or off track. Do you know, that's works mentality, and I didn't even know it. It was totally caught up in a works mentality. And what I needed to have was faith in God. I needed to have faith in God. So I want to show you something. Let's go over to the book of John. In the book of John, I want to start right with this. Because it's my suspicion that I'm not the only one like this. I want to say this. Sometimes we don't get the results in our lives, whether it comes to healing, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, increases in the manifestation of God's blessing, like financially or in our health. We don't see the results that we've been looking for. And so we start looking for reasons why it's not working for me. Has anybody ever done that? I've done that. I'm telling you straight, I've done that. And sometimes I have been guilty to look at myself, whether I qualify or not for God to use me. Anybody ever done that? So let's look at a few things. The reason I'm talking about this right now, and you know, it's been on me for a while, and I just got to give in to it. The Lord really wants us to know how much he loves us. Because though people have been telling it to us in our ears, there's something in some of us that it hasn't settled all the way down into the nucleus of who we really are. The very core of our being has not really accepted the fact that God loves us. And I don't mean just, oh, Jesus loves you. I mean that you are absolutely vitally important to him personally, and he absolutely wants you and wants to really bless you and show you his greatness. He really wants to meet every one of your needs and really manifest his glory to you. There's people in this room that don't believe that. They say they do, but they don't. So let's find out what Jesus qualifies, or what the Father qualifies for us to be able to have that in our lives, shall we? Okay. All right. Fred's paying attention, bless God. Verse 1, chapter 1, we're in the book of John. And in the book of John, John's talking about, he's out there baptizing. You know, he's doing what he's called to do. He's John the Baptist because he's baptizing people in water, not because he started a religion. It's not because he started a religion. It's because he's doing the work of baptizing in water. So they called him the Baptist. And what he was doing was baptizing people for the remission of their sins, right? by faith that their sins were going to be paid for. So he was taking off the old way that they believed and rising up in the new way of belief. Okay, dying to the old, living to the new. In verse 29, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said this. He said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sin.'" Isn't that wonderful? The Lamb of God that takes away sin. But it was only for the Jews, right? Because Jesus came to the Jews first, right? So it wasn't until... Is that right? No. Finish what it says. What does it say here? "The sins of the world." The world. The world. Wait a minute. There's a lot of really crummy people in the world. There's a lot of really mean people in this world. There are a lot of people that are out of their minds in this world doing horrific things. There's really bad people. And he died for them too. He died for every human being. Every human being. So if Jesus died for every human being, who is left out? You know what? I didn't believe that in my heart. I heard the words that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But do you know what? There were people that I would look at that I did not look at them as if their sins were paid for. I looked at them according to the way they acted, the way they behaved, the way they treated me, what they've done. And that's how I looked at them. Their performance, the way they treated me. But God says in this word that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He was the Lamb of God, which what? Takes away sins. So let me ask you this. When we go before God and it says that we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? 1 John 1:9, very controversial verse. Anyway, he's got your number too, by the way. I just want you to know. There's no respecter of persons, amen. He's got your number. So, listen, when I was there and I was looking at other people, you know what I'd forgotten? I had forgotten that God was looking at me according to Jesus and not according to what I've done in my life. Do you know what? You guys know this story. When the guy has done something wrong, he's got sin in his heart or in his conscience, or he's condemned by some way, what does he do? He takes a lamb and he brings it to the priest, right? And the priest takes that lamb and he sets it aside and looks at the guy and goes, "You dirty, rotten scoundrel. I can't believe that you've done those kinds of things, that you need a lamb to sacrifice for your sins." Did the priest ever do that?
Nope.
Not even one time in the Bible. The priest put his full attention on the lamb. His full attention. And he examined that lamb to make sure that it had no spots, that it had no blemishes, that it had no broken bones, that it was a good sacrifice. Right? And if that lamb was a good sacrifice, worthy to be presented before God, then they would slit its throat and they would sacrifice that lamb, right? As what's called a peace offering, right? So that there would be peace between God and man. It's a lamb for being thankful. Let's look at one verse. Go to your Old Testament. It's not Levi, it's Leviticus. Amen. Levi are my genes. Leviticus is the Bible. All right. To Leviticus. Let's see. Where are my pages stuck together? That must be Leviticus. Chapter 3. Are you with me? Leviticus chapter 3. Okay, talking about the offering here, let's look at verse 6. And it says, if his offering as a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it how? Without blemish. So a peace offering has to be somebody that's without blemish. Can I be a peace offering? Thank you very much. Are you saying I have blemishes? Are you saying I'm unworthy to be presented before God as a reasonable sacrifice? You're absolutely right. So is everyone else, praise God. We're unequipped to do that. But who was the lamb that was slain for the sins of the whole world? Was he without blemish? He never even sinned one time. Do you know what? Did he sin when he sat on the curb and he fashioned the whip and then he took it into the temple to the money changers and he beat the snot out of those guys, turned over the tables, threw the money on the ground, set the animals free, and chased them all out of there? Did he sin then? Can you believe that? The Bible says to be angry, but do not sin. Being angry isn't sin, just to let you know. But you can sin when you're angry. I had to learn that. I had to learn that it was okay to be angry. I'm sidetracking, I know. I had to learn that it was okay because I was taught I had to be nice. I was taught I had to listen to my elders and all these kinds of things, and I wasn't allowed to act out in my house because retribution was close if I did. So I did not know how to be angry righteously. And so because of it, I would let all this stuff bottle up inside of me. And then what happened was I started hating people because I couldn't really say what I wanted to say. My heart got locked down. And since my heart got locked down, guess what? I had fake relationships with people. I was able to intellectually agree with people. We could do work together because we're in agreement with the way we're thinking. But there was no love for that people anymore because my heart was locked down tight as a drum. Because I was angry and angry, and it piled up and piled up and piled up, and I was never able to really vent it and be real with what was going on inside of me. And then when it did get too big and too, guess what I would do? I would bust and I would drop a nuclear bomb completely disproportionate to what the moment actually deserved. It's like calling a $500 response to a $5 question. I was over the top because I'd finally had all I can take. You know why? Because I didn't know how to be angry the right way. There's a right way to be angry, and it's of God to be angry, but don't sin. Some of us need to learn how to do that, amen? Back to the thing I was talking about, side note, it's over. So Jesus was the sacrifice for everybody. He paid the price for everybody. He was the sin. He remitted the sin for the whole world, right? So does that mean you?
Oh, yeah.
Does it? Does that mean me? Okay, so then let me ask you this. What gives the devil the right to put sickness on us?
We do.
Say what? An open door to sin. We do, he says. Do you know that Jesus on the cross paid the price for all sin? The sins of the world. If you don't sin, he has no right to you. None. He had no right to kill Jesus. None. That's why Jesus raised, because he had never sinned. And he had pure blood that paid the price for our sins. So when the devil killed Jesus, Jesus rose again to life, right? By the Spirit of God in him. When he did that, what did he accomplish?
Everything.
Use better words. What did Jesus accomplish when he rose from the dead?
Victory.
Victory. Better words than that. Resurrection life. What else? Say that again. He took our sins away. They were dealt with, were made innocent when he died on the cross. But you know what happened when he rose from the dead? This is the part that got me. It'll get you. What happened when he rose from the dead? He just broke the devil's power over us. He broke it. Because what's the devil's power? Death. It's sin, sickness, disease, destruction unto death. That's what he hangs over our head. Is that we can be sick, hurt, and die. That's what he holds over everybody's head. And that got broken in Jesus Christ. Listen, this is important. Because of that, we have eternal life. Because he broke it. The devil's power has been broken. So we get eternal life. Who gets eternal life? Everyone who believes. Every single person who believes Jesus did what he said he did and did what the word said he did. Everyone that believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Not that Jesus existed. Not that Jesus was a man on the earth. Not even that Jesus was the Son of God. That Jesus made you clean with God and that you will have eternal life with God. If you believe that, you get it. But you got to believe it. Here's the thing. All them people that I don't like, all them people that have hurt me and that my heart was shut down and that I had no compassion for at all, that's the truth for them too. That's the truth for them too. God is so, so good. My heart was so locked down. I didn't even know it was locked down. I didn't know how to forgive people. I said, oh, I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to forgive you. But I didn't know how to get my heart actually free. I didn't know how to let go of the pain that I was carrying. I didn't know how to feel confident in everyone else's presence. I didn't know how to guard myself. I didn't know how not to guard myself and be cautious just in case. I didn't know how to stop all that. I didn't know how to get out of all that. When I got in a situation that I had to be vulnerable with other people, I had to tell the truth. I had to actually tell the truth of what I've lived through and how I got to be the way I am today. When I was able to be honest with what I have done and what I wish I didn't do, which could be the same things, I thought that if people knew that, they would hate me. I thought that if I was able to really get real with it, that people would not want to be around me because I have done some terrible things. I really have. I've done some really terrible things. I've done some things I'm very ashamed of. I've done things that I wouldn't even repeat now because I'm so ashamed of them. And I was packing all that around inside of me. Jesus died for my sins, didn't he? Amen. Guess what? That didn't mean anything to my heart. It didn't mean anything to my heart at all. I said I would carry these words in my head that Jesus loves me, but my heart was still completely closed off to that life of God. And I got around these people that we had to start sharing the truth of what we've lived through and start forgiving people and start walking through some of the problems that we had in our lives. And you know what I learned? The very people that I thought were going to hate me when they found out what I'd lived through and what I'd done were the ones that I became the very closest to because I was able to drop my walls with them and get real. The walls that I had up to protect me and to make me feel like I was okay were the very things that were stopping the life of God from flowing out of my heart, from me being able to have compassion, real compassion with other people, and not just fake compassion because my head says I'm supposed to love people. But now my heart is able to love people. Because the light of God is in me and I've put the walls down to be vulnerable and be real. You all know I'm vulnerable. You all know I tell the truth in here, and I share what I've actually lived through. You know why? It doesn't have the sting in it anymore. I have the memory of it, but the sting of it is gone because I've given it to God. I've brought what I had in the darkness into the light. And once I brought what was in the darkness into the light, the devil can't beat me up with it anymore. Because I've been forgiven of it. God has washed it away. Do I still have the memory of it? Yes. But I don't have the shame and the slime that was attached to it before. You know what? You would think, I thought that, wow, I'd be able to rejoice now, and now I'm set free before God. Do you know what really changed in my life, though? Sorry, I don't know why it's so important. That I realized that no matter how messed up anybody else is, no matter how bad they look to me, they walked just like I walked. They got hurt just like I got hurt. They've been misled just like I was misled. They've got a chip on their shoulder because they don't know that anybody actually cares about them, just like I didn't know. And when I realized that all of us have walked through it, all of us have really been hurting, the worst guy I'll meet out there is only that way because of the way he was raised and what he's had to live through on this earth. That when I realized that, the compassion of God not only rose up in my heart, but you know what was absent? The fear of them. I can go to any neighborhood. I don't care where it is. I'm not afraid of people. You know what I'm afraid of? I'll just be honest. You know what the biggest thing I'm afraid of? Standing here in front of you guys. I don't know why that scares me, but it scares me every single time before I start. It's just my little thing that I bear. I think it's because it's important to me to be really honestly real with you and not just give you another teaching. I want to actually help us to be free and to love other people. Because I'll tell you what, without love, it profits us absolutely nothing. We're wasting all of our days. If we are not able to really receive God's love for us and to really be able to love, actually love other people. Are you with me? Okay. So, let's go back over to 1 John. Bless you also. Now, let's go to Hebrews. Nope, 1 John. I'm going to use 1 John instead. I know. I'm trying to follow the Holy Spirit. I don't bet any of you follow him perfect every time either. You know that? I'll tell you, this is honest of walking it out. There's a little bit of me in here. There's a little bit of him in here. And, you know, to find out who's leading who here sometimes is a struggle. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody ever been married?
What you talking?
It's a real struggle. Who's leading here, you know? It's a dance, you know? So it's a relationship. The two become one, right? In the natural, the two become one flesh. With God, the two become one spirit. Same thing. It's still got to figure it out as you go. So it's 1 John. Ready? We're going to start in verse 16 of chapter 3. You with me? Verse 16 of chapter 3, I'm reading the New King James. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And if whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Is that important to God? That is the thing that is important to God. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes I get distracted from that. Sometimes I think it's about the spiritual gifts. Sometimes I think it's about me having enough faith. Sometimes I think it's enough about me prospering enough and manifesting the things of the kingdom. But it's all of that is given to me so that I can love you better, so that I can meet your needs better. Here's a revelation. It's a new revelation for me, so I can't really unfold it fully yet. But I want to share something that the Lord just showed me. Some of you might go, oh yeah, of course, no problem. It wasn't like I only just got this. And it's coming bigger inside of me. It's not there fully yet. It's this. God is love. You go, oh, Robert, duh. Mm-mm. God is love. Let that sink in. God is love. If I don't experience the love of God in me, I'm absent from God. My heart is shut down from God. If I can't really experience the love of God, if God is love, then I'm not experiencing God. I'm actually not experiencing God. You know what I'm doing? I'm walking in assumption that everything's okay between us. Just like I did when my heart was shut down, I could walk in unity with somebody. We could work together. We can carry on a conversation in this world. We can do business, no problem. But heart to heart, value to value, that I valued him when I'm not working, that I was open and transparent with him when I'm not working, no way. Because my heart is shut down, I wasn't able to love. If I cannot love people, I really don't know God yet. I really honestly don't know him yet. I know he exists. I know he's real. They tell me he's good. But I don't know that goodness yet. I haven't experienced it yet. Is it true still? Oh, yes. Is it true? Am I counting on the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins that I can raise in the latter day? Oh, I'm absolutely trusting in that. Do I know God? No. I don't know God. I say I know God. So, okay, what's the acid test on whether I love God or not? If I love you. That's the proof of whether I love God. If I say I love God, but I don't love you, I'm a liar. That's what the Bible says. I'm a liar. That's sobering to me personally. I'm not trying to boo the room at all. I'm trying to let you know that it is very important to God that we learn how to actually love other people. And lay down our lives for other people. And it's not about me. Once I realized that my sins are forgiven, and I got together and I let down my guard, and I was able to be vulnerable with some people to unpack all the stuff I had packed inside of me, then now the darkness is gone, the light shines, and guess what? God is love, and he's in me, so I have love for people now. Are you with me? Amen. It gets better. It gets way better. It gets way better. Do you know that God is the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. Do you know the Holy Spirit's love? Do you know it gets better? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is God who is love, who is in me? Who is the deposit, the guarantee for things to come? Do you know that Jesus came the first time, it says in Hebrews, for salvation or for sins, to put away sin? The next time he's coming is for salvation, is to redeem what he bought. He put down the down payment with the Holy Spirit, but when he comes again, he's going to pay the full price. I'm getting here. Just wait. He's going to pay the full price when he comes back this next time. He put the down payment on you and on me. We've got the Spirit as a guarantee. It's the in us. His Holy Spirit is with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is 100% God dwelling in me. But it's only the earnest money. It's only the down payment. Is it the fullness of God that I know and that you know? Sure it is, because it's all we know. If we've all been given the same 10% down, then we've all got the full 10%, don't we? So we've all got the same Spirit. We've all got the same amount of the Holy Spirit. We've all got the same Holy Spirit, the same 10%. There's 90% yet to come. Whoa, what a minute. Are you kidding me? So if the love of God that I can experience is only the 10% of that love, there's 90% more to come. Well, how's it going to come, Robert? Look at this. Do you know that when Jesus comes together with us in his return, that his glory is going to shine out from us? His glory is going to shine out from us, isn't it? Whose glory is it? It's his glory. Who is he? He is love. Do you know that the life of God that's going to raise us unto eternal life is actually love is going to raise you and me up? Do you realize that when I am experiencing the full glory of God, that it is the love of God is what's going to be radiating out of me with such magnitude that I will be like him forever? I'm not going to be like him forever in power and only have the same little love that I had while I was with you. I'm going to be raised with the love of God to the same magnitude that Jesus walks in right now. When I went to heaven and I stood before him on that throne, it was those waves of love that were just washing over me in his presence as he sat on that throne that I could not even bear because the glory was so great. The love was so great. I couldn't even stand in his presence because the love was so overwhelming that he had for me. I could not tell you in natural words how powerful that love is. But that same love that he had at that moment when I stood in his presence in glory, I get to have at his return. You get to have at his return. That it's not by my effort, it's not by my might, it is by the Spirit of God that that's going to happen to me because his Spirit's in me and his Spirit's in you. So we get the fullness of that. It's not by how good I am. It's by me letting him be himself in me. And now is the time with our 10%. Our 10% down that he gave to us, that we would love others with the capacity that we've been given. That we would see others as forgiven the same way he sees me forgiven. The same way Jesus is sitting there glorified in the presence of God. That's the same way he sees you and he sees me. And we need to let the past go. We need to let the condemnation go. We need to let the insecurity go. We need to let all of the ideas that we think about ourselves that are not that radiant splendor of loving glory go. That's the old man and the old woman. And though we only got 10% time, it sure does seem like it's pretty dark right now and that it's hard to be really loving. It's hard to take people at face value. It's hard to really manifest the love of God sometimes. But I want to tell you this. Hang in there. Though we suffer tribulations, though we have despair, though we face troubles, though we have to stand when it looks like everything around us is being destroyed, God is faithful and he will reward us on that last day for us not giving up, for us not giving in, for us not disbelieving and separating ourselves from the love of God. Continue to believe. I'll tell you, The more, if you want to experience more of God's glory, how many of you would like to experience more of God's glory? Whew, God is good. All we need to do is look for more people to love. I'm honestly serious with you. If we can find more people that need love and we give it to them, the glory of God cannot be withheld. God is love. If I'm letting love come out of my heart, that's the glory of God coming out of my heart. And the more that I let God's glory come out of my heart by loving other people, the more God is able to be shown in me, because God is love. Isn't he? And if I want to see more of God, I need to find more people to love. Well, if I need more people to love, then I've got to have the goods to love them with, don't I? It says that if we see somebody in need, we should be able to help them if we have this world's goods, right? Amen. I think I better start using my faith to believe for bigger things so that I have something. If I want more people to love, that God's glory shines through me more, I better start walking in faith to believe for more of his goods to come into my presence so that I can give them to other people. So his light will shine. Why? So that his glory will be revealed in me. Jesus, when he did his first miracle, when he turned the water into wine, you know what they said about him? That he manifested his glory. Because he met the needs of those situated by loving those people and his own mom and doing what she asked of him. Because he loved her, because it wasn't even his time yet. But because he loved his mom, he did what she asked. And his glory was manifested. What is God's glory? God himself being revealed. His light, his life, his love. God is what?
Love.
God is love. And you can't get more love if you're not willing to give it. You've only got a compartment, a vessel that is so big. And if it's so full of you, there's no room for God. Listen, take away the blah, blah, blah and get to what really is true. And what's really true is, as long as I held all this unforgiveness and condemnation and shame in my heart and I judged other people and thought I was better than other people and didn't like the way they acted and so on and so forth, I'm so afraid of them. You don't know what's going to happen. Make sure you lock the doors. All that stuff packed up inside of here. Where is there room for God? But once I unpacked all that stuff and I got real and I let it go and I forgave people and I got my heart clean again, guess what? It was full of God. And the light of God can shine now. And as I really let the light of God shine, fear has no place in my heart. Love totally cast out all of that fear that was in my heart. Do you realize that? Because I let God be God by me loving other people and preferring them above myself. I couldn't do that till I got the garbage out. You can't. I'm going to be gross. Can I have grace to be just a little bit gross? If I made you the most beautiful cake and put the most luscious frosting on it, let's say chocolate, buttercream frosting, yum, yum, yum. Just the most beautiful one. But instead of chocolate chipped, I used my little bunny pellets instead. And I took all them little bunny pellets and mixed them into the batter and made my cake, and then I covered it in beautiful chocolate frosting. How many of you would love the taste of my cake? You wouldn't. That's what I had when I was feeding other people out of my well. Because I had brokenness, shame, insecurities, wounds, offenses, scars from the past, packed up inside. I didn't think I had any value. Nobody ever let me say what I really wanted to say. So I had all these unspoken things in my heart, just all packed up inside of me because I'm taught to be nice. Those are rabbit pellets in my cake. So as I speak out of my heart to people, guess what? If I'm fake, I can say all the right words. I can mimic what the Bible says, but there's no life in it. Once I spoke out of my heart, rabbit pellets coming in my cake. You get the poison too. But once you get the poison out, it's good, healthy, nurturing life comes out of me for other people. Are you with me? The Lord is coming back. I'm really serious with you. He's really coming back. I'm sorry he didn't get the memo for the 23rd, but he certainly is coming. He certainly is coming. And as I've shared with you guys, I don't know how many of you heard it or not. There's lots of videos on it. When he comes, it's not going to be a surprise to you or to me when he comes. It won't even remotely be a surprise. We'll be going about his day, and as he starts getting closer, you may or may not hear the trumpet blow. I didn't. You may or may not. But when he starts getting closer, he is the very life of the Spirit that dwells inside of me. He is my life. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ now who's living in me. That when he appears, I'm going to appear with him. What? In his glory. That when he appears, his glory is going to shine out of me. And when it does, I'll be no stranger to that. We will know it because inside of us, the life of God is going to get so big, so huge, so alive. You're going to feel so much joy that you can't even contain it because the life of God is just alive inside of you. And then poof, mortality is going to be swallowed up by life. And as he is, so will we be, because we're going to see him as he is. And we're going to be just like him. Are you with me?
Yes.
We have this hope before us, the hope of his glory. And that's what we're founded and grounded in, is the hope of that same glory that's in him, in us, right? So when we walk through our day, if we don't have our hope set before us on why we're doing all of this, why we're beating our heads against the wall, why we're enduring everybody's foolishness, while we're listening to all these fights and debates and garbage that people insist on putting us through, the reason we're enduring all of that is because the day of the Lord is at hand. And when he comes on that great day, we will be just like him. And that is the manifestation, the fullness of his love and his glory. And you and I have that to look forward to. If we don't know that that is true, if we don't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the risen Lord and coming back, then we will not endure in these hard times. We'll fall back. We'll murmur. We'll complain. We'll look down on other people. We'll be offended super easy. Why? Because we forget why we're in it. Why are you standing so fast? Because you know that when he comes, you will be like him, because you'll see him as he is. The fullness of the love of God will never be removed from you. You will always, when I stood in the presence of Jesus in glory, when I was in heaven, and that glory was overtaking me, there were thousands of people laying on their faces, praising and basking in his presence, because we get that. We get that. It is important for us to lay down our lives for other people. I know we want to be healed. I know we want to walk in the anointing. I know we want more power. But gifts are given to us for other people. That's why they give it. He gives us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher for the edifying of us. So he gives us his presence to us so that we can learn how to minister and come together as one person to the perfect man, that we can walk in the fullness of Jesus' glory. That's why he gives us the pastors and the preachers and the teachers so we can do that. But guess what? He doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all of us so that each and every one of us, with no exceptions whatsoever, is given the power of God. so that we can get a word of knowledge. Why? Because we love that person and we want to help and we don't know how to help. So he tells us how to help. But you got to want to help. If you don't want to help, he's not going to give you the revelation. Amen. He's not going to make you a magician or a psychic. He's going to give you the goods to set people free. But if you don't have a heart to set people free, then quit asking for the goods. Because you're not going to do anything with it. But if you really want to love people and to set them free and know the goodness of God, he will pour out as much on you as you can handle. But it's got to be real. You got to actually want to help. Not just go, okay, well, Jesus, I'm going to check it out. And you know, if this is real or not, then you do your stuff, okay? That doesn't work. Well, I take it back. Sometimes it does, only because we're so ignorant of God's goodness. He gives us a little bit of the good so we can see that it's actually real, that he's on our side, until we can get a little bit more. But we need to grow in it. We need to believe him that what he said is true. And when we do, we will see the glory of God shining out of us. How? By the love of God manifesting from us. How did they know that those people back then were disciples? By the love that they had for one another. That's how they knew. These guys are disciples. Why? They're walking in so much love. Those guys must know Jesus. Are you with me? How did I get in here? I don't know what happened. I do love them. I love you guys. I do not take this lightly. None of us that teach up here take this lightly. We really want everyone to not only know the love of God for themselves, to really be filled, to really be set free, but more than that, that we can bring the kingdom of God to other people. The church has been powerless for too long. The church has wanted to operate in power, but has been clogged up because we've been trying to be something that we're not. But if we'll be real with other people, you're not better than anybody else. You might even be more messed up than the worst person you meet. But you've been hiding how you've been, what you think about yourself, what you think about others. If you just get real, because you've walked through it, you can have compassion for other people that walk through it. Amen. Those group of ladies that I had to be real with, they talked about all the men that did all these terrible things to them. I was shivering in my boots. And yes, I do wear boots. I was shivering in my boots because I was a guy that did those things to girls. I thought they would hate me. But the truth is, they loved me because I came clean. Because I let go of the pain of what I did. And I honestly wanted to be cleansed of it. Just like they did. And it became great healing for all of us to be able to let down your guard and be real. If you are not able to do that, I'm not saying you need to tell every ugly thing you've ever done to people. That's not what I'm talking about. Do not cast your pearls before swine. They can't comprehend the value of it, and they will trample it into the mud. And then they'll come to you and trample and tear you to pieces, okay? I'm not saying cast your pearls before swine. I'm saying to learn how to forgive, be honest and vulnerable, let down your guard. Forget about pride. Pride doesn't accomplish anything. Who cares how good you look? Who cares what you know? Who cares what you've got? It's all going to burn. You know that? The glory of God is going to shine so great inside of us that none of that will ever even come to mind ever again. There's no value in it. It's stuff to help other people, and that's all it is. And until we get that, it's going to own us. It's going to run our lives. The Bible says to him who steals, steal no more, but work, Ephesians, so that you may have something to give to others in need. Right? We do all this so we can help other people. Are you with me? Did I overstep my boundary? I don't want to do that. Huh? With the rabbit pellets? I said I was going to touch it real there. All right? It is not my heart to condemn anyone. It is not my heart to set anyone above another person. It is my heart to tell you this. No matter how much you hurt, no matter how much you've been hurt, it's nothing compared to the weight of glory that will be revealed in you. Nothing. Nothing. So now's the time to forgive, to set free, to start learning how to bless other people with your words and speaking over those people that I was disgusted by. I speak blessings over. I ask for favor. I ask for their desires to be met. I ask for the things that trouble them to be removed. I want them to have everything they've ever wanted. Why? Because I would wish somebody would pray that for me instead of telling me how screwed up I am. I know I'm screwed up. You don't need you to remind me. What I need is someone to believe in me so I can walk out of it. That's what they need too. They just don't know to ask for it. Jesus died for who? The whole world. Amen. Amen. Can I pray? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're faithful. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would show yourself to each one in this room and that can hear my voice. That these words, Father, would reach to the depths of our hearts. That we really can lay it all down, that your glory would shine out of us. That we really could start preferring others above ourselves. Looking for ways to love people. So that more of your love can pour through us. If you are love, as you say that you are, Lord, then that's what we've got to look forward to for all eternity. Who are we to withhold it from anybody else? We say we want you to minister to people, to bring people into the kingdom, but Father, you do that by your love being expressed through us to other people without wanting anything back in return. Let this revelation sink into our hearts so we can actually walk in the truth that you can be glorified. Jesus, we love you.